God, we're so blown away that we could sing, God, a request like this for you to turn your face upon us, God. We're so in awe that we can ask these requests, God, that your heart would be gracious toward us. That, Lord, this is praying your word. This is your word, and we're just praying it back to you. And, Lord, it always humbles me and amazes me how you've saved a wretch like me. It always humbles me, God, and amazes me, and it overwhelms my heart. It makes me want to draw closer to you, God, when I'm in the presence of you and I can experience and feel your love poured out. And I pray for all the folks on the lawn right now in the sanctuary here, streaming the service from their homes or wherever they are, God, that they could feel your love right now just abounding in them, Lord, just overflowing upon them, that they would realize how precious the words of this song, Lord, is, Lord, and how it's part of your word. We don't have to wonder, are you going to do these things? Your face is upon us. Your favor is toward us, God. You gave your son for us. How shall we not freely receive all things from you, God, that flow from you? Thank you, God. Thank you that your eyes are upon us. Thank you that your heart is toward us. Thank you that you're crazy about us, God, and that you're just seeking to draw us closer today. Thank you that your mercies are new this morning and we get a fresh chance, a fresh start with you, God. Thank you that you don't hold grudges and you're not vindictive, you're not facetious, God, you're not an angry God. You are the essence of loving grace. And we worship you this morning. We worship you, God, because of who you are and because of what you've done for us. Continue to make responders out of us, God. Continue to put it in our hearts, Lord, to follow you and to walk with you. And if there's anybody among us today, God, or listening into this message online that doesn't yet know you, God, I pray that you would knock on the door of their heart. And that they would feel, Lord, that nail-pierced hand knocking on their door. And that they would open it to you, God, like we have. And they'd experience, Lord, the preciousness of supping with the Savior King. We love you, God, and we commit this morning, this day to you. We ask that you'd have your way with our hearts now. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. All First Service said, wherever they are, amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Go ahead and be seated. I know we all want to greet each other and embrace, and I know that last week I kind of said to do that. I'm still getting used to all of these COVID rules, and I'm trying my best here to be obedient to them and to honor the Lord in doing so. I hope that you can appreciate that and do the best yourself. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, and we'll handle verses 16 and 17. It's sort of the last part of this set that we've been in. It began in verse 12 of this chapter, and now we come to the close of this chunk of scriptures. It's the last of last, a warning here that's given to us by the writer. He's encouraging, he's exhorting the believer to run the race, to stay the course, and he's saying that in the midst of that, there needs to be these warnings, these take heeds that are given to the bride of Christ, or to those who are at least seeking to be a part of the bride of Christ, or maybe even sadly pretending to be the bride of Christ. And it will speak to you no matter where you are this morning. And the reason for that is because it's God's word and it's alive. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And whenever it's given its place, it speaks. The problem is never the word of God, it's not even the messenger if the messenger is giving the word of God. It's the hearer. Something's wrong with our hearts or our ears if we can't receive when God's word is open. I don't care who the messenger is. I don't care how eloquent or articulate they are, how old or how young. If God's word is going forth, tried and true to scripture, then there should be something we could always all receive from it. Amen? So if you didn't bring a Bible and you're in the sanctuary, you can see the scriptures on the screen behind me. I'm assuming you on the lawn can do the same thing as you're watching on our Buffalo Bills Megatron out there. I hope that you guys are staying cool, that you're blessed. We're going to do communion today, our first Sunday back where we're able to have communion together. I feel like the Lord specifically spoke to my heart on Friday that we're supposed to do that. And I'll give away my message right at the start. I feel like the Lord said that he wants to heal his people spiritually. I feel like there's a lot of sickness among us spiritually. I feel like there's a lot of apathy that's settled in over the last 4 or 5 months. I feel like there's an indifference to the Lord, an indifference to his word. I sense it. I don't know what it's like in other churches, and I'm not knocking the church here. I'm a part of this church. God's speaking to me too, and he's dealing with my heart too. But I think that something happened in a lot of our hearts, not for the good, but for the bad, over the last several of months. And it's nobody's fault necessarily. I mean, we got separated from each other, and God never intended us to be separated. And I think we lost some momentum. I think we lost some strength. And the Lord, in his grace and mercy, he wants to draw us back today unto himself and sort of rekindle the flame, rekindle the fire. He wants to sort of give us a jump start so that we can continue to run the race to win. Amen? So wherever you are today, let the Lord speak to you. Let him deal with you. He's a loving father, and he wants to draw us back unto himself. And so let's read these verses here collectively, and then we'll take away what the Lord wants us to receive. I don't think it's going to be a lengthy message. I think it's going to be a worshipful service today where we spend some time with the Lord in prayer and communion. So let's just look at these verses, verse 16 and 17 of Hebrews chapter 12. The writer here is speaking to the newly converted Hebrew Christians, and he says here, there's a warning. He says, hey, be careful, unless there be any fornicator. Any fornicator. I don't know if that's a word that we all understand today. It's sex outside of marriage, any kind of sex. Any kind of sex. Sex with a girl if you're a guy, sex with a guy if you're a guy. Sex with a guy if you're a girl, sex with a girl if you're a girl. No, they're any kind of sex. It's where we get our word porno from. It's a perverted word. It's a word that describes sexual activity outside of the marriage covenant between one man and one woman, okay? And he says, hey, there's got to be this warning given because sexual sin will sneak in quickly. You're trying to run the race? I'll tell you what, there's something here that will easily beset you, and that is sexual sin, fornication, activity sexually outside of the marriage bed. He says, heads up for that. There's got to be this warning that's given out. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. We all should be like, all right, I'm checking my heart, God. I don't want it to be the case. I don't want it to be the case that another woman, another man, another woman, whatever it would be, is in my head outside of who you've given to me to be my spouse. If you're not married yet, God has somebody for you. Don't cheat on them. Hang tight. God's got somebody for you. And so he says this, listen, there's a danger here of there being fornication or somebody being a fornicator or a profane person. Okay, the word profane in its truest sense is speaking of the outside ground of the temple. It's speaking of the common ground of public places. It's speaking of ground that anybody can walk on. It's the opposite of holy ground. What's the writer asking us to do? Be holy. What's the author asking us to do? Run our race to win. What's the author asking us to do? Keep our eyes on Jesus, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Run the race to win. Don't get caught up to the left or to the right. Look at the cloud of witnesses that have gone before you. Be encouraged. Be charged. Be encouraged. Be charged. In the process, though, be careful that you don't get off track. Be careful that you don't veer from the course, the lane that God, according to his genius, has laid out for you. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? How could that happen? Well, you could start having some beef with people because he says, follow peace with all men. So what's the opposite of peace? Animosity, strife, contention. You got to be careful of that. None of us are exempt. You got to pursue holiness because without that, no man can see the Lord. You got to watch your heart for bitterness. Bitterness, it's got a root. And if it's got a root, it's going to bear fruit. Anything with a root's going to bear fruit, and it's bad fruit. It's going to hurt you and it's going to defile everybody around you. Be careful of that, but also be careful that you're not perverted. Be careful that you're not a fornicator or a profane person. A fornicator is a profane person and a profane person is a fornicator. Be careful, he says, of these things. You're supposed to be holy, not unholy. You're supposed to be spiritual, not secular. Profane is secular. It's worldly. It's indifferent to God. This is what God is speaking to us this morning. Not a coincidence, he's got us right here, week two of regathering together. He says to Calvary Westside, I don't know what he's saying to the Father's house. I don't know what he's saying to First Bible Baptist. I don't know what he's saying to Grace Road. I don't know what he's saying to Calvary Chapel out in Finger Lakes. I don't know what he's saying to the other churches. I don't know what he's saying to the church across the street. I don't seek him for that. I seek him for this church. God, what are you saying to our church that I'm a steward over? What are you saying to me as a child of God? What does he want to say to you? What does he want to say to us? He says this morning. Guard your hearts because you've got two natures within you. You've got the spiritual person that has been reborn and has new life in Christ, and then you got the old man or the old lady that never went away. Have you guys sensed that lately? You got two natures. You got a civil war in you, don't you? Some of you have been saved for decades, and you can't believe the potential for there to be carnality in your life, if you're being honest with yourself. I've been saved since a little boy, and I can't even believe how quickly I could revert back to something I was outside of Christ. That person never goes away. Isn't that the truth? Amen just means I agree. So be it. Isn't that can I call for an amen for that so that we're not a bunch of Pharisees? It never goes away. I'm at my son's soccer tournament. If you're wondering where is Shauna today, she's manning the floor with my son. She's on the field. And we're at his tournament yesterday, the first tournament since COVID. And so, we're there, and the kids are not, I mean, they just started being able to practice last week. I don't know if you knew this, but soccer's a very, you need good cardio for soccer. You're running up and down the field. And I also don't know if you realize that we live in Florida now. It's very hot and tropical here. And yesterday the kids were dogging in their afternoon game a little bit. More on our side than on the opposing team side. But the coach on the other side was this little lady, and she was the most obnoxious little lady that I had ever seen. She's across the field, running up and down the field with her players, screaming at them about our people in such a condescending way, such a nasty way. I'm talking like, my voice is weak because I have a tendency to yell a little bit too at games right now, but I'm talking she was like to the top of her lungs. I mean, just nasty things. Like, these boys aren't as in shape as you guys are. Look at them. They're slugs. Now beat them, beat them, beat them. And I'm over there like, oh, Jesus, please. Number one, she's a lady. Number two, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Number three, I got to preach tomorrow. Like, this could get bad. And I can't even believe, like, that there's something there that wants to stand up and like, respond to her. I can't even, you ever get shocked by yourself? Listen, I tell you these stories every sports season. It's not that the stories are getting old, it's that I'm getting old. Nothing changes. I'm still the same wretch. It doesn't matter how much Bible reading I do. It doesn't matter how much seeking the Lord and how intended I am to be holy. I mean, I'll be honest with you, any minute that my brain isn't occupied with what's in front of me, I'm getting ready for a sermon. What's your hours? I don't have hours. I don't stop working. I wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and I'm thinking about the text that I'm going to preach to you. I mean, I am giving everything that I have to be holy. I'm giving everything that I have to walk with Jesus. And you want to know something? I fall on my face every single day. Is anyone else at all a little like this? I mean, it's difficult. It's a civil war. There's the new man, the new woman, if you're saved. A new creation, old things pass away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ. That's how Christ sees you. Don't get me wrong. That's the reality of the position that you have in his sight. But the reality for you and me is, man, is it's still being worked out. And that old man, that's why Paul says you got to crucify him daily because it wants to resurrect. And sadly, don't you wish it was annihilate him or annihilate her and then they're just gone and there's no battle? But what'd Spurgeon say? Dead men don't wrestle. Dead women don't wrestle. So every day, what happens? We gotta be careful. If this is the edge, we gotta walk close to it and say, hey, listen, I'm just one step away from falling on my face. So when the Holy Spirit says, hey, church at Spencerport, be careful in your race that you're running, lest any of you become a fornicator or profane person. Nobody gets to go like this. Unfortunately, that isn't for me. David was an older man when he had an affair with Bathsheba. There is no like, oh, I'm past that. There's this, walk humbly with your God and listen to what the word says to you. Careful of worldliness. 4 months out of church can produce some worldly carnal Christians. If it weren't the case, God, listen, God designed, I'm in Corinthians in my devotions right now, God designed what? Pastors and teachers and those who can herald God's word, for God's people to come together and to be washed in it. If you didn't need church, God wouldn't have, he wouldn't have instituted it. If you didn't need a place where you could be led, I mean, this is above and beyond what you need to be led by. These guys were, they were ridiculously good this morning. I don't know what they drank or ate for breakfast today. I don't know what chef's catering is serving out there, if they ate some of that or what happened. But these guys were empowered by the Spirit of God. There's a reason that God designed corporate worship. I'm really ready when everybody can come back again. I almost don't want to ever live stream again. Because live stream has done something to the culture where it's like, oh, this was nice for 4 months. At first it was like, I'm never going to make it. And then after the first few weeks, it's like, oh, you know what? I don't even have to actually listen when the message is streamed. I can run to Wegmans. I can get my errands done. I can get a workout in. And then I'll just kind of listen when I'm folding laundry later. Or maybe on Monday I'll listen if I'm, you know, got some downtime on my lunch break. Now all of a sudden it becomes a thing where it's like secondary. Be careful. If you got a health issue or you're of an age where you have to be concerned, that's different. We're in a weird season right now. I respect that, and we'll do our best to get the service to you the way that we are in the meantime. But there's nothing to replace the huddling of God's people. Even the people out on the lawn, I can't wait to get them back in here. Because it ain't the same, and I know that. For those who are criticizing, I know that I'm doing the best. We're doing the best that we can. The word's got to go forth without interruption so the people on the other side that can't be here can hear the word of God. If we got children in here, that can't happen. You understand? We need church. You have people outside of church for a lengthy time, they get worldly. Peter, give me your feet, I got to wash them. Oh, Lord, get away from me. You're not washing my feet. There's not a shot you're washing my feet. That's not going to happen. And Peter and Jesus said back to Peter, Peter, you don't understand. I don't wash your feet. You got nothing to do with me. Peter said, well, then in case, I'll take a bath, Lord. I'll jump right in the tub and you can wash me from head to toe. Peter, you don't need to be washed from head to toe. You don't need to, that cleansing's already happened. You just need your feet washed because that world is dirty and that's where you're trekking through Sunday afternoon to Sunday morning. That's where you guys all are all week. Listen, my feet are getting dirty and I'm at the church most of the time. Our feet get dirty. We have propensity to sin. The writer here is saying this, you've got to be careful. That's fornication, that's sexual sin. I don't know how to water that down. I won't even try to water that down. That's sexual sin. All of us are bent toward it. Nobody should be acting like that will never be me. It's the truth. It could be all of us. And profanity, an unholiness, a secular spirit, a worldliness. Be careful of any of that, he says. He says like this. Otherwise, he says, you're going to be like Esau. He says, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, when he realized, listen to me please, when he realized there was a blessing attached to the birthright, that's what it's saying here. It's at that point that he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he saw it, what's it? The blessing. Though he saw it, the blessing, carefully, with tears. You guys know whose brother Esau is, right? Jacob. You remember Esau comes out, his parents, Isaac, Rebekah, he comes out first and he's red and he's hairy. My son, when he was born, he had hair all over his shoulders, all over his ears, and big, long black hair all over his head. I don't know if your kids were born that way, looking like a little monkey coming out, hair everywhere. But my wife was obsessed with the shoulder hair. Esau came out with hair all over him, red hair. And so they call him Esau, and out after him came his twin brother, Jacob, who was holding on to his heel catcher, right? And that's how they entered the world. So who's the older of the two? This ain't a trick question. If Esau came out first service, Esau is the older of the two, right? So automatically in the culture then, the birthright went to the eldest sibling, which meant two things. It meant this, you get double of what everybody else gets. Well, that's exciting. Whatever mom and dad leave behind, you get double of the other siblings. It should bring this back for the oldest boy in the family. I think it's good. And then, in addition to that, there's a responsibility. Now, when the patriarch of the family dies, you are now that spiritual leader. You are now that spiritual leader. You got a spiritual role to guide and to lead your family to church, to guide and lead your family to the scripture, to prayer, to the knowledge of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Esau the scripture says, was a profane, a secular, worldly guy, a fornicator. Jewish tradition says that when he was out, remember, and he came in and Jacob was cooking and Jacob bribed him and said, I'll give you some of my lentil soup here if you give me your birthright. And what does Esau say? He's like, who cares about the birthright? I'm hungry. Listen, Esau was all kitchen, no chapel. Write it down. That's profound. It will stay with you for the rest of the week and it will challenge you in your walk. He was all kitchen and no chapel. All fleshly, bodily appetites, give it to me. No concern about God. Even if what I'm going after, God says, isn't part of the plan, I'm still going after it. Anybody starting to get a little bit uncomfortable? Even if God says, don't date her, even if God says, don't get into a relationship with him, he doesn't believe like you believe. Even if God says, don't put that into your body, even if God says, don't get nasty like that and gossip and slander, I'm still gonna do it. Is it resonating? Even if God says, don't look at that image, I'm still gonna look. Even if God says, man, that's gotta leave your heart, you gotta repent of that because the heart will make a convert out of the mind, I'm still gonna harbor it. You understand what I'm saying? This is Esau. He's like this, what do I care about the birthright? You know what he's saying essentially? What do I care about what my dad Isaac has told me? Check this out. Esau and Jacob were 16 years old when Abraham, their grandfather, died. That means Papa Abraham and their father Isaac would have told them of the promises of the Lord concerning who? Messiah, Jesus Christ. That name ring a bell with you? That he would one day come into the world and save all men from their sins. Guess what Esau's like? Don't care. Not interested in God. Not interested in the horizon beyond this. Not interested in life after. Not interested in God's people, man. I'm interested in the here and now. And the thing about Esau is if he walked in the room, he'd be the guy that all the guys would be like, that's the guy. He'd be that guy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he'd be the guy that all of us guys would have a man crush on. He'd be the guy that's like this big, strapping, strong, hairy hunter. Which I love hunters. Those who bring in that venison jerky and what I love you guys. I'm thankful for you. But listen, the only other time the description of somebody being a hunter is used in scripture is of Nimrod. It's not a positive thing, it's a negative thing. He was a vicious man who hunted men. Jacob was tame. Everyone trashes Jacob. Everyone's like, oh, Jacob, you know, this little pretty boy in the kitchen. Oh, no. The word tame is actually a word that speaks of maturity. He might have been sly and he might have been a manipulator, but he had a heart for God and the Messiah. Esau didn't. And it wasn't until he realized that birthright had a blessing attached to it that he sought it. And that's why it says here that when he saw it, the blessing, there was no longer an opportunity. God concreted the decision he had already made and rejecting the birthright. Rejecting the birthright. We got a birthright. Two, it's the same birthright that comes all the way down from Jacob, because we've been born into the family of the Messiah that came from his loins. Regeneration. You all know that? And the writer is saying this, because we can go 86 different ways with just two verses. The writer is saying this on this first communion Sunday post-COVID separation. He's saying this. Whatever is vying for your attention out there, whatever is being dangled in front of your eyes, I always think when I use that analogy in my mind, I always think of Samson just being lulled by Delilah. Whatever is being used by the enemy to entice you right now in this season that you're in, it doesn't have to be sexual sin. Profanity is the way that this word is used here in the Greek, it's a very general statement. Anything outside of what's holy. Well, that's the whole world system. It could be anything out there. What is it out there? Like maybe you barely made it in. You're not even really, you know, in your mindset, you're not even really in this building right now, but God is starting to try to wake you. The writer's trying to say this to you. Listen, whatever it would be that would keep you from getting back to the course, shake it. You got to shake it this morning. You got to let it go. And it was by one meal that Esau gave it all up. Now watch this. And it's by one meal today that Jesus Christ wants to give it all back. That's profound. Let me say it to you again. One meal, Esau gave it all up. He was all kitchen, no chapel. Fleshly, bodily appetites, I'm going after it. Whatever it is, whatever I want in the moment, I'm going after it. Jewish tradition says that he already had three adulterous affairs before he took that bowl of soup that day. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know from Scripture is that he married a bunch of secular, idolatrous, unbelieving women. And it greatly displeased his parents. It was a joke to him. Sex, pleasure, the world, man, that's what he was after. And he gave it all up. And it ended in bitterness for him. God would say to you this morning and say to me, one meal, he gave it all up. One meal, I want to do the opposite and give it all back to all of you here today. I want to give you back joy. I want to give you back peace. I want to give you back rest. I want to give you back all the things that you find where? At the foot of the cross. We need to have a healing service right now. We need to come to the Lord's table and sup with him. We need to be cleansed. We got to take a stake and put it in our spiritual ground, if you would, and mark it and say, man, July 20th, 2020, 7-20-20. That was a day for me after months of borderline backsliding. Or let's not even, just call it what it is, backsliding. Because there was a time where I was hotter for Christ than these 4 months. So that's what? That's going backwards. Man, that backslidden season, or that season of indifference, or maybe it's been months since you've read your Bible on your own. You were trying to do it in the beginning of the pandemic, and you just stopped, and it's like anything else that's good for you. When you stop doing it, it's hard to start doing it again. Maybe there hasn't been really much worship in your life, because this is only a flavor of what worship is. I hope everybody knows that. Worship is total surrender to Christ. Worship is me and Jesus, no matter who else is around. So maybe there's been no worship. Maybe you haven't told somebody about Jesus in who knows how long. And I'll tell you something that is super detrimental to your joy. You want something to boost your joy? Get outside of yourself, go serve somebody, and go tell somebody about Jesus. Anybody. I love just organic, natural conversation that the Holy Spirit opens up. I don't go door to door. If you do, that's fine. That's not for me. I don't go door to door. I have. I don't hand out tracts necessarily. I have. But I just like just being out and just talking with people as conversation takes its course. It just happened to me at lunch this past week. This kid kept walking by my table. I was having a meeting, and this kid kept walking by my table outside down in the city, and he kept walking by. He had big earphones on, and he was rapping. He much younger than me, but he was rapping all 90s raps. And that's when I grew. That's from my era. I've been waiting to be able to say something like that. 90s hip hop. That's what I used to listen to. And he's rapping, and he's walking by, and he kept walking by. So I wasn't even planning to say anything to him. One of the other guys started talking with him. And then he said something in the middle of that conversation that began to take place. He said something that he struggles with that I struggle with. So I just spoke to it. I just started praying when he's speaking, God, give me your tone. I could tell this kid's fatherless. Give me like a fatherly tone. Give me a gentleness and give me a meekness where he realizes I'm not making fun of him, but I'm relating to him. And I was able to say a few things, give him the phone number of the church, the information, and I was able to exchange some words with this guy. And I don't know if anything will come of it, but I know some seeds were planted. So we leave there, and we are on our way back to the office, and we go in to grab a cup of coffee at the place right next door to take back with us here. And there he is again. So I just say to him, hey, you know, let me get you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink. And come to find out, he hadn't eaten or drinking all day. And it's been in this heat, so you could understand. This isn't a story. I'm feeling funny now because I don't want it to come off like I'm trying to tell you my good deeds. What I'm trying to explain is I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I got to back it now with the love of Jesus, right? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Remember Jesus talks about that? Who? The least of these? I, you know, so I'm thinking, like, I can't just tell this kid certain things, or and tell him that in the middle of his struggles to call to the name of Jesus without showing him Jesus. And I can just see how stunned he was on his face. I could tell that he wanted to embrace me. A much bigger dude than me, he was a big guy. I could tell, man, he was getting close to me and just kind of looking at me. And he's like, you don't have to do this. And it was nothing. It's like, I'm just buying you an iced coffee and a pastry. I want to do this. And he was just totally like, why are you doing this? Just totally, he kind of even walked out of the store like looking like, is that it? Like, you're just going to do this? And maybe I'm not going to be the ones who's the harvester in his life. But maybe now somebody else in the city is going to run into him, because apparently this is his thing. He does this a lot. And maybe they're going to tell him about my Jesus. And maybe he's going to say, I kind of like your Jesus. Because somebody else told me, I don't even know the guy's name, but he told me last week. The Lord will follow up. Some water, some give sun. You know how it goes, but the Lord brings the increase. And you want to know what that does? It's like a shot of adrenaline in your arm. It stokes you for the Lord and his kingdom. It takes your mind off the temporal and the worldly and the things that are passing away. And it sets your eyes on eternity. It sets your eyes on why you're even here to begin with, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, church, before we go to the mountain of the Lord, because that's next week, the writer just says this, be careful. Sexual sin. It's taken the strongest men and it's broken them down like a piece of bread being crumbled, like a lamb being led to the slaughter. Be careful. Careful. Careful with who you're texting. Careful who you're giving those double looks to. Careful who you're imagining in your heart. Careful. Careful. You still got that old man. You still got that old woman. Grass is greener on the other side, but you get with them, they're going to have the same issues that your spouse has. Breath's going to stink in the morning. And go to the bathroom, it's going to smell. I'm shooting straight. Nothing's going to be different. Still going to be life you got to navigate. When you get past that, when you get past that alluring phase of infatuation, and now you start to be with them, man, it's going to just be like it was with that person, just new sets of problems. And if you're as old as I am or older, then the other person's going to have kids on top of it, which just adds a whole nother mess. It's one thing when it's your kids. It's another thing when it's her kids or his kids. Careful. You young person, be careful. You're not married yet. You're dying to be married. Be careful. God's got somebody for you. He said, seek him first and his kingdom, his righteousness, and everything you need, he'll be added to you. How do I know if he knows that I need this? Because he's the one who made up marriage. How about that? Adam, you're in perfection. It's me and it's you and it's the animals and it's food and you got a six pack and you get to walk around without clothes and you got all this imagine, but you still are lacking. You need a helpmate. And what God joins together, let no man tear asunder. I'm going to take it from your side, not a rib, but a blood transfusion, I believe. I'm going to open up your side. I'm going to pull from your blood. I'm going to put together. I'm going to build this woman for you. And you are for her, and you guys are going to complete each other. And then Paul would further illuminate and go like this. It's all a picture of the bride of Christ and their Savior King for the world to see. He's got you. Hang tight. Careful of profanity. If there's any of that that's arisen in your heart, let's repent over it. I'm going to call the team to lead us in a song. Let's repent over it. You guys got the elements under your seat. Let's go through this song. I'll interrupt it with a prayer leading us in the communion. I didn't want you to be dizzy from picking it up in the middle of us getting ready to pray. So I want you to get it now. Let the blood stop rushing. It'd be wonderful when we could put our hands in the same tray again or whatever. I don't know when that day's coming. But in the meantime, thank God for prepackaged communion. You guys on the lawn, Pastor Larry and some of his assistants out there will help you get communion. Maybe you want to raise your hand. They'll bring it to you at your seat with a shield over their face and a gown over their body. They'll come right to you. They'll bring it to you at your seat. We want you to partake too. And honestly, if you're at home right now and you feel ripped off and you're thinking, man, I want to partake too, the Lord will honor it. You go to your cupboards, get some saltines, a piece of bread. Grab some juice, go back to the couch, go back to the sofa, hang tight. We're going to move through the blessing. Isn't it amazing? Esau was after it, the blessing. But he already had given up on the way to that blessing. He already forfeited that. And on the opposite this morning, God's like this, I want to give it back to you. What he gave up at one meal, I want to give back to you at one meal. I want to wash away all your sins, all your fornicating, all your perversion. Hey, some of you have been troublemakers. shoot straight. You've been antagonizing, and you know it. You've been stirring the pot with the gossip, with the slander, with the hate. God hates discord. It's your chance right now. I don't have to know about it. You don't got to come confess to me. You don't got to tell the pastors or others. You just tell Jesus. But get your heart clean. It's dangerous. You're going to become bitter, and then you're going to be toxic to our fellowship, and there's no patience for that. So check your heart. I'm checking my heart. I want the Lord to break me so he can remake me. I want the Lord to continue to guide me and shape me. So you do the same thing. All these things we've been encouraged in. Where we failed, let's repent. This is our chance. Let's get it back. Let's get back our joy. Let's get back our peace at the foot of the cross, okay? So hang tight. We'll partake in just a minute. Let's sing through this song and let the Lord minister to our hearts. We've been waiting to sing that song with you guys in the room. It came out in the middle of everything, and so we're so grateful how awesome it is to have this opportunity to sing it over you as representatives of the Lord, and let the Lord sing it to us. What an answer to prayer. And I want to say this before I lead you in the opening, and if you want to get a head start, it took me like 7 minutes to open the top layer to get the bread out, but if you want to peel that first layer back so you can get your bread out while I say this to you, if you're a mom or a dad here, a grandparent-to-be, if all you leave your child after you're gone is something to be settled at your lawyer's office, things that are going to perish, then you've left them nothing. There's something greater than all of that to leave behind, and that's a spiritual blessing, what we're just saying. Upon our children and upon our children's children, I'm trying to set my kids up. I want to have things I can give to them, my daughters, my son, absolutely, and I'm not knocking that. But if that's all that I've left them when I leave, I didn't do my job. If that's all that you leave them when you leave this world, because we're all going to perish from this world, from this side of eternity, we're gonna exit and enter into eternity. And there's something more the text teaches us today than the doubleness of the earthly inheritance. And that's that spiritual blessing of knowing Jesus, so that our kids will be with us in eternity. So their spouses and their kids, and there'll be this whole legacy in glory. How amazing it will be. And the writer is saying, that's what you should be after. Maybe you've gone after some other things the last few months. You've gotten it twisted. Your spiritual vision has gotten skewed. You've gotten so overwhelmed with the plummeting of the economy or what you thought would be, if that's all your focus has been on. The Lord is saying to you today, hey, listen, there's more to all this than just your finances and earthly treasures. In this sense, Esau was the loser and Jacob was the winner, because he went after those things that tied him to the Messiah. And I'd give you that encouragement today too, mom and dad. This isn't just about you. I know that we have that old nature that wants us to think it is. But you got an influence over your kids. They're not even yours, by the way. And some of you want to hear that today, and some of you don't. If they're real little, you're like, no, those are my babies. If they're a little older, you're like, yeah, they ain't mine. Depends how they are right now. But you're just steward over them. I'm just steward. They're on lend. They're on lease from the Lord for us to do what? To raise them and shape them into the image that he's designed them to be. So leave them a legacy in Jesus. Even if you don't get to see their commitment to Christ, know that you did everything that you could to impart to them the truth of the gospel. Because that's where winning is found. God, I pray over your people this morning. I feel like there's so many words that you've spoken and that you want to speak, and I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful, God, for how multi-headed your word is. How many avenues, Lord, that we can go down. If time wasn't constraining us, God, we can go so many ways with this. Your word is so alive, it's so deep, it's so rich, it's inexhaustible, God. And so is your mercy and your grace. Like Paul said to the church in Ephesus, it will take all of eternity to learn of those things. We're going to be learning of you, Lord, for all of eternity in awe. We think we know you. We don't know you. We don't know you like we think we know you. There's so much of you that we can't know till we see you, till we're with you, till we behold you, till you reveal it to us. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the majesty, the glory, the splendor of our Savior. Lord, but what we know, we love. What we've tasted, we've thoroughly enjoyed. And we're so thankful for this one meal. Lord, this one meal that we can come to today, this, this supper that you instituted for us, to remember you, to celebrate you, to have our hearts cleansed. There's something, Lord, about these tangible, you know, items, God, that are in our hands. There's something about this piece of bread and this juice that speaks to us. You knew that. That's why you designed it. And we hold it this morning, Lord, just with thankful hearts. As believers in you, this is for believers in you. And as believers in you, our hearts are sober. We're so thankful, God, that months of a mess can be undone and washed away at just one supper with you of confession and repentance. How amazing. Unlike Esau, Lord, we're not seeking a blessing right now. We're just seeking to get our hearts right. And then blessings will come. So church, go ahead and, if you didn't already, pull back that first layer of plastic and go ahead and take out the piece of bread. Let it speak to you. Let it talk to you for a minute in that, not being mystical and strange, just like Jesus said, you take, you eat, this is my body that was broken for you. It's not his literal body, but it speaks of his body. How his body as the Son of God was slain for our sins. How his body who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. I think that we're too fast as Americans. Got to slow down for a minute. I mean, look at this piece of bread. I know one pastor in Oregon who chews, every time he takes communion, he takes the bread and he chews it 40 times, 39 times. Just an effort to just think on mentally the lashes that Christ endured from the Roman cat of nine tails when he was whipped and beaten before he bore that cross down the Via Dolorosa to Calvary's Hill, to Gordon's Hill. And, you know, for some of you, maybe that's what you got to do. You're too nonchalant about it. You're just too routine with it. That's why we stop doing it scheduled. We get so routine, we want to make everything religious. Just tell me the date, tell me the time. No, God says, let's keep it real. This is my body that was broken for you. Let it speak to you, the love of Christ. Let the tables be turned. No more letting the old man run all over you. The new man. Feed the new man. And you only have a chance to do that because of his body that was broken. So go ahead and partake, if you'd like, of the bread. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus, we know that apart from the shedding of your blood, there is no remission of sins. God, that's got to become more than a scripture we just spit out. We can't just recite things intellectually, mentally, Lord, and verbally, and think that that is enough and it will have its effect. Lord, let it take root right now. We know that there can be no putting away of sins except it be for the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that can make us whole again. There's nothing else. There's no other healing agent that is out there. There's nothing within that we can find and draw from to be overcomers of our sin nature. We were destined for hell till you, Jesus, stepped in our path and revealed yourself to us. There's nothing else that can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that can make us whole again. No matter how little the sin or how great the sin, his blood is enough. And the reason, church, that his blood is enough is because his life is in the blood. It speaks of his life. It's not strange. It's not bizarre. It speaks of the life of Christ that was poured out for us. And it's only his life that can save you, because it was only his life that was sinless. A sinner can't save a sinner. Think this through. If you're a skeptic here today, I sense there's skeptics. If you're here today and you're scrutinizing and criticizing, listen, let me tell you something. Sinners can't save sinners. Only the sinless Son of God, who's fully God and fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, who walked this earth and lived a life here for 33 years and never sinned. Only he can lay down his life for the sins of the world. Only he who knew no sin can become sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. He appreciates your efforts, I believe. He's thankful that your heart wants to do good, and you should. But it is not predicated upon your behavior, your salvation. It is predicated upon your belief system in the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what we celebrate today. We don't sit here and say, oh God, that's ridiculous. There's only one way. We stop and we say, oh God, thank you that there is a way. Thank you that there is the truth. And thank you that there is the life that is found in Jesus. And that's why we hold this juice up. That's why we say what we say, that our sins can't be washed away except it be for his blood that was poured out. So Jesus, we thank you. Church, go ahead and partake. And we're going to sing this last part of this song over you as you go ahead and make your way from the sanctuary as you guys break up out on the lawn. There won't be a closing prayer at the end of it. This is our closing prayer. We're going to just sing it over you as the Holy Spirit leads you. Go ahead and make your way. And outside, you guys go ahead and make your way. This is the breaking up of the service. But also let the Lord just settle these things in your heart. Lord bless you. Lord keep you. Keep you from fornication. Keep you from profanity. Keep you from being somebody who divides the body of Christ. Keep you from somebody who's a contentious individual, a bitter individual. Lord, keep you from defiling yourself and those around you. Lord, bless you. Lord, keep you. And Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Let's sing it to him. Let's sing it over him. God bless you guys. Lord bless you.